Episode 21, Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. I'm Matt.
I'm Nick. We're already rolling, aren't we?
We are rolling right
okay.
now.
Okay, I was not expecting that.
That's what the intro thing that I just did. That's what that means.
Yeah.
And we're rolling.
Way to warn me.
Yeah, it is the new era of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. We talked about this on episode 20, that we were being born again. We're mixing it up.
We're only having guests.
We've got two guests with us today. Our main guest, the main focus of our attention today will be Mr. Rob Ross.
Hello.
And then also flown in, because we spare no expense, flown in from Denver, Colorado, Mr. Cuban Harrison is with us today.
Oh, hello.
those of you that are unfamiliar with Cuban's story, we ask you revisit episode 18 when our friend Ben Bussell was here, and he's the man who introduced us to Cuban, and it's gonna be a magical time, I think.
Yeah.
So let us debut the booze.
The booze.
The booze. Not only are we gonna continue to drink shitty things, we're actually adding a new element to it today, gentlemen.
Uh oh.
What I have procured for us is four different 40s of malt liquor.
All right.
And I'm randomly going to hand them out.
Oh, I get the Magnum.
Cuban, what'd you get over there?
Oh, this is going to hurt my stomach. I got the King Cobra.
Cuban, you generally, what is it that you like to drink?
I like bourbon and diet.
Okay.
I think Rob won the lottery because he got the Old English.
So Rob has got the Old
highest
English
quality. That
Peaches Nick over there has the Magnum, and I have the Steel Reserve.
Short straw, dude.
But here's the beauty of what we're doing: is every 15 minutes we're gonna switch. We're gonna hand our 40s off to the person to the left. That way we all get to sample the flavors.
Yes.
Four different flavors of 40. So let's crack them.
Oh, man.
Cheers.
I can't get mine open.
Nick is having a little difficulty here. He's not used to working with something that's Magnum size, ladies.
Oh. God, this is bad.
Okay, that's your initial response. Rob Ross, how's the Old English?
Not that bad.
Yeah, Old English is all right.
It's okay.
So you're saying that the Revolutionary War may be a mistake. Maybe she would have kept with the Old English.
Then they're fine malt beverages.
Steel Reserve, I don't know if it's just because it's so hot and I've been out in the unair-conditioned of my truck and outside working and everything, but this fucking Steel Reserve is delicious right now. Cuban, how's that Cobra? You're working on it pretty fast over there.
It's good. I love it.
So maybe you have a new favorite outside of ginger and...
Bourbon and diet.
No, it's bourbon and diet.
Okay,
I specifically said bourbon and diet.
I'm sorry. My apologies, sir. All right. So now, Cuban, I don't know if you get the podcast out there in Denver. Rob, I don't know if you've been listening recently, but we have a new challenge here on the podcast called Around the World in 80 Lays, where Nick has been challenged by his own father, Mark Cross, to fill in the sexual rainbow.
Yeah.
Because at the last episode, you had only had white, and you had one half Latino, right?
And Asian. Thai girl.
Yeah. You got to do like all the generalities, and then you do each individual country of Asia.
Everything.
Everything. And so we have some breaking news, do we not?
We had decided that I didn't get...
You don't have full credit for the half Latino.
Yeah. So I got another half one, actually. And so now I have a full Latino girl.
Full Latino girl. Now, I have to ask again,
in the rainbow,
because we decided it could go either way. So was it a full-blooded Mexican midget? Or was it a regular-sized person who is half Latin?
It was a regular-sized half-Brazilian.
Half-Brazilian, okay.
Yes.
All right, very nice. Well, cheers to that, sir.
Yeah.
My
streak continues.
Now, at some point in this episode, I think we should drink a little bit more, but we are going to let Mark Cross know about this development, because you are doing this so that he sexually can live vicariously through you.
That's right. Rob just was like, wait, what?
It's a great episode. You should listen to it. So we'll be calling Mark Cross. He doesn't know about it this time.
No, he does not.
Last episode where he knew we were calling. So that'll be a little bit later on. But it feels like this is a good topic to get started on. Rob, as our guest, what about your sexual rainbow? What's that color palette look like?
Beige. Pretty beige. Tan and taupe.
All right. So a lot of Jersey Shore girls. Okay, so just give us throw out some nationality. Throw out some.
Half Hispanic, Indian.
I know which
Blaxican?
One. Blaxican? Ooh, Blaxican.
Double points. You have a Blaxican? We decided that was double points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Two minorities is double points?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's hobo a minority.
Hobo, yes.
Hobo.
Definitely hobo.
All right, well, let's talk about that. So yeah, was the hobo Caucasian? Was the... I mean, underneath the dirt. Could you tell?
You said beige, but yeah, I believe so.
Beige, not babe. That's their motto. Yeah.
Where did you find this hobo on the tracks?
Oh, a house show that I had like back in 2003.
Well, the hobo was in a house then, so.
But not their own house.
No.
If you invite a hobo into your house, it negates all their powers.
That's why he was able to sleep with her.
Exactly. And so did you sleep with her in your house or in her squat?
In my house.
In your house, okay.
After she left, were there markings on your fence post?
You know, I didn't know about the hobo code at that point, but I'm sure.
There's some sort of symbol that suggests you can get laid here.
Yeah. What's Scruffy doing back? I keep telling that guy to get off my lawn. All right, very good. Well, what about you, Mr. Harrison? I know we don't know you quite as well, but what about your rainbow? Tell us about your rainbow, Cuban. No, are you in fact Cuban?
No. I'm from the East.
From the East.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have been with one woman, and then I realized it just wasn't for me.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Well, you know, the rainbow goes both ways, you know. So what about of the gentlemen callers?
Only black.
Well, it's okay to have preferences.
You got your type.
So kind of like a rainbow in the dark is what you're...
I hadn't heard, you never go back. Well, it's true. And I hadn't heard that. Had I known that, I would have tried other races before African American.
Because you didn't know it was a dead end.
I did not know.
You're not trapped.
I'm happy with the choices I made.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Excellent, gentlemen. This is shaping up to be the best episode ever. All right. So some back history for our listeners that don't know. Mr. Rob Ross, longtime rock and roller, primarily in the band The Sump Pumps. Regrettably, no longer a band. But you guys were a band for 15 years or so? 23 years?
11, I think.
11 years.
11 years, yes.
Okay, so your guffaw at my 15 years really not that warranted because it wasn't like I doubled it. I just, you know. All right, so in your days, like, we'll just jump right into the tour stories. We're going to mix it up. We're not going to do doing this week, what we're not doing this week. Maybe we'll do that later if we run out of things to talk about. But we've peaked early with this rainbow talk. So let's go ahead and bring it down with one of your dumb tour stories, Rob. All right.
Oh.
And if you can burn a bridge or several bridges in the telling of this story, that is ideal.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Key.
I guess, yeah, Iowa City seems to be a pretty good destination point. We were on tour with a band called Prizzy Prizzy Please,
mm-hmm.
And they introduced Ben Bussell and I to a game called Wizard Staff,
which
unheard of before then, and they... said they had never seen somebody get to level 15.
Okay.
You know.
And for those of the... If maybe listeners don't know about Wizard Staff, can you quickly explain it?
Yes. If you have cracked one beer, you are a level 1 wizard. And each subsequent beer must be taped to the old one to form a wizard staff.
Gotcha. And
yes.
So they'd never seen anyone reach level 15.
They'd never. They,
so that's 15 beers.
15 beers. And this is after we had...
They'd obviously
pre-game.
Been hanging out with the wrong people.
Yes, exactly. This is after we had been after we played the show itself, and before then we had been drinking all day.
Right.
So this is 15 beers on top of the 24 beers anyway.
Sure.
So find out about this game. Think it's the greatest idea ever. Ben Bussell and I are really, really into the idea of getting to level 15,
mm-hmm.
which is great. At the show, we meet this girl who lets us come over to her place and, you know, party or whatever. So get over there.
Was she Blaxican?
She was not Blaxican. She was a massage therapist who promised us the massages the following day.
And smoothie. She was an
angel. And smoothie. Yes, it was. It was the best. It was the beginnings of the best night ever.
Right.
So
I mean, it had to end that way, right? That's
of course. Of course not. No. So wizard staff happens. We are running out of beers, but we were really trying to get to level 15. So I found, I believe it was a tilt or some sort of...
Ooh. It was a Sparks.
It was a Sparks. And the Sparks had a tiny pinhole in it. And it had been in my truck for probably 3 months. Really hot summer. Yeah. So we finished the Sparks, which was awful. And then to get to level 15, we actually had to borrow beers from the fridge. All right. So we do it. Everyone's really excited. 15, you know, it's 4 in the morning, so we're like, all right, let's go to bed. 7 in the morning happens, we're shaken awake because we drank a roommate's beer, and we have to go. We have to go right now. And the worst day ever begins. We had to go to Lawrence. Yeah, Iowa City to Lawrence. And, yeah, I've never had a hangover like that in my entire life. It would not end. We tried every trick in the book, food, sleep, Bloody Marys, and it just kept going. And, yeah, that...
So I have two questions. Okay, first of all, when they woke you after only a few hours of sleep, and you reached level 15, correct?
Yes. Okay. We could fly.
Did you wake thinking that you were a wizard? Like, it seeped into your consciousness that you were... Did you have dreams of wizardry?
No, okay. But Kyle actually performed an act of wizardry where we couldn't find him, and he teleported into the bed that I was sleeping in as we were running around trying to find it. That was you?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, shit, I don't know. Okay. It was awful.
How did this person at 7 in the morning know that their beer was... What were they doing?
It was only 2 beers. It was 2 Sierra Nevada Pale Ales. They were the crown jewels of the staffs. They really wanted those 2 beers.
I guess 7 in the morning.
I remember trying to strap the wizard staffs to the top of the van to show people that we had actually done this. And I think they just kind of fell off.
Into the yard.
Okay, and now my second question is...
Those people are never letting a band stay at their house ever again.
Yeah, fuck
no.
my second question is, but how was the massage the next day?
My massage being shaken awake.
Yes, okay.
Yes, it was...
All right, very good.
The worst part, I think, was arriving at Lawrence, Kansas at 11 in the morning. Didn't have any friends there that we could call. I couldn't get a hold of Jackie or anything like that. The show, of course, wasn't until 11 that night. So we're just in July,
baking
in our van for 12 hours, just hanging in the van, hungover.
Because you normally would not have left to drive there much later.
It was a short drive.
What awful band was playing?
Oh, it was Wilco. It wasn't that awful of a band, but anything was awful in the ears.
Oh, yeah, and then we fucking Margo and the Nuclear Goddamn So-and-Sos were playing directly across the street from us. Yeah. Our fucking worst enemies.
We've talked shit about them on this episode before.
Damn it!
Nemesis of the Sun Pumps.
I think Nemesis of Humanity.
Yeah, is it time to switch these?
We actually got a minute, but good call.
Why not 15 people in a band? Why not?
Yeah.
Plank, recession.
Hey, they trailblaze. Bon Iver is following that path.
Yeah. Well, it was totally Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos that were the first people that
ever to do ever anything. That guy's never blatantly ripped off another band.
Never.
In his bright eyes wannabe career, and then that didn't work out. I was like, oh, the Decemberists are getting popular. I'll just copy that.
He's scaled back, actually. There's only 6 people in the band.
Yeah, because, December is not the hot flavor anymore.
It didn't happen, so now, he's got to move on.
No, they sound like sassy dance rock, I'm assuming.
No, it's more My Morning Jackety.
Oh, see? Well, there you go.
There's certain things that just always work. The power trio is a classic thing. Why not the power, Quinn, Decca?
I'm a dedicated bass drum player.
When I would see them with that guy, I'd be like, he owns the band. It's clearly that guy owns the band, and maybe most of the gear that they're using. Can I be in the band, guys? What are you going to do? Fucking just be annoying. All right, you're in. 15 minutes to hand it off to the left.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm going from Steel Reserve to Old English.
I'm going from Magnum to King Cobra.
Let's,
I'm going from King Cobra to Steel Reserve.
Let's,
so am I.
Ben has showed up.
Yeah, Ben Muscle
showed up all of a sudden.
Yeah, Ben Muscle's here with Cuban Harrison.
He is a big fan of Cuban. He goes everywhere that he goes.
Yeah.
I love to do
flavor right. switch.
Here we go.
Rough. My mouth had gotten used to the steel.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. I've been missing you.
Yeah, the King Cobra is a little bit of an upgrade from the Magnum. Mm. The Magnum's kind of bitter.
I like the Cobra.
We know you like the Cobra, Cuban. Now, the Black Cobra.
Yeah. Now, Cuban, you're a man of the world, I'm assuming. I mean, your first name is very worldly, your last name, very Pennsylvania Dutch. So I'm assuming that you get around, my friend. Have you ever had any travel stories? Maybe a story that Ben has told you, a tourist story that Ben has told you. You guys are very close, that you would like to then tell us, as only Cuban Harrison could.
Well, there was one time that Ben told me that he was also in his band, in the band The Sump Pumps. This is before they broke up. And they were playing in Minneapolis. Personally, I love Minneapolis, but Ben doesn't.
What can I interject here? What do you like about Minneapolis, Kevin?
Oh, I don't know. It's cold, and all the kids are hipsters, and there's no really good venues. But I don't like live music.
So that works for
so
you.
It works for me.
They like your red mustache there.
They love it. They love it.
And Charles Schulz.
Charles Schulz. Not so much on Prince. I was happy when he moved. And I hear there's a club there. I hear there's a club. Ben speaks highly of it, called the Triple Rock. And he's like, oh, they have free bacon. And it might be nice, but as you all know, I'm vegan. Another reason I love the Twin Cities.
But not the Triple Rock, because
Minneapolis is very friendly to vegans.
They're friendly to me. They're friendly to me. I like a lot of boys there.
Okay, very good. So Triple Rock. Ben had told you the story about the Triple Rock and the free bacon.
Oh, no, that was his one good story. This is a very different story, he told me. That he was with the Sump Pumps. He was actually down the street from the Triple Rock. You could see the Triple Rock. You could see where the kids were having fun. But this club was called the Red Sea, which I love. I think it's a classy name. So they were playing. It wasn't a sold-out show, but there were some kids there. They had very angry and pointy haircuts. The pointy and all their white zip-up hoodies with the pink and the turquoise, and I like them. And they were paying $7.50 per person, and there was maybe 35 or 40 of them there. So the band got done playing, and they had to drive the next day, and so they went up to the door person. They said, hello, we are the Sump Pumps. Give us our toll, or would the bands get the money?
Okay, the toll.
Yes.
And the door person says, oh, I don't pay you. The sound person pays you. So we went up to the sound person, and the sound person says, they say the whole thing, the same spiel. And the sound person says, oh, no, I don't pay you. The promoter pays you. They say, that makes sense. So you find the promoter, and it's this nice girl. And she says, oh, no, the sound person was wrong. It's the bartender that pays you. So they went up to the bartender, and the bartender said, I don't know what the promoter was talking about. She knows she's the one that pays you. She has all the money. And so we go, oh, she must have just been mistaken. So we're looking around for her because, you know, to err is human. And we can't find her anywhere. And we're asking.
So you were there all of a sudden, Cuban?
I was there not enjoying the show.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Me neither. I hated that show. It's fucking terrible.
They look all over and they can't find her. And finally, someone says, oh, she lives upstairs with her pit bulls. So they go up the stairs and they knock on the door. And she answers it, and they say very nicely, "Please, we just want our money to get to the next town, because petroleum is expensive, and we don't have any place to sleep. And please, they knew there was people there, and they just want some money." And she says, "No, you can't have any money, and my pit bull agrees with me." And long story short, there was no money. So they walk downstairs, and there's some young dude. And he's like, "Why are you so down on your luck, fellas?" And the sump pumps are like, "Oh, well, we're in Minneapolis, and we don't have any money, and we don't have a place to stay, and we don't they don't even have any beers," says the sump pumps. And he goes, "Oh, well, there's a house party at my house. There's going to be a lot of people there. They got plenty of beers. There's plenty of places to stay. There's pretty girls." And the
coils.
And the sump pumps, they say, "Wow, silver lining. That's great." So they go to this guy's house. And they go in, and there's no beers. And it's just like 6 19-year-old dudes. But they did have a hot tub. So
Jay, you enjoyed it.
I did not follow them to this party.
Okay, this is just okay. You heard about this.
But I hear that James Swihart took off all of his clothes and got into the hot tub because why the fuck not at that point?
As you do, as a Swihart does.
And the less than a dozen young male partygoers then just kind of hung out in that room with James naked in the hot tub. Do you care to add... You were there, Rob. Do you care to add anything to the story?
Oh, yes. So, yeah, the fat bitch with the pit bull didn't pay us our money. We go to the shittiest party of all fucking time, where there are no beers. Oh, yeah, Minneapolis. You should probably sell beers after 10. Just heads up. Make sure you buy them before. Go to the shitty party. James gets naked, jumps in the hot tub. 12 people stand around watching him while he's in the hot tub. Awkward. Then he proceeds to get a lap dance from the one girl that was there downstairs in the DJ room. It was fucked up. So anyway, everything sucks. There's no beers. We go back to another house to go sleep. All right. So it's me, it's Ben, it's Ryan Paulson, it's Kyle Beach, and then there's James Swihart, who's still trying to party. He's trying so fucking hard to party. Like, real, real hard. And so we all set up, you know, we're sleeping on couches, floors, whatever. And then there's James, who refuses to sit down, standing straight up, staring at each individual person, going, "You're a fucking pussy. You're a fucking pussy, you fucking pussy." And we're like, "James, shut up. Just shut the fuck up." So he tries to lay down next to Kyle. And Kyle's a tiny man.
Yeah.
Very, very small, but somehow manages to take up an entirety of, like, you know, a two-person futon. Mm-hmm. Because he's a dick. James tries to sleep next to him. And by sleep, I mean crawling up next to him going, "You fucking pussy. What are you doing, you fucking pussy?" And Kyle's like, "Get out of here, James." So James stands back up. He's just kind of leering over me. Ryan's on the floor on an air mattress. And then the loudest sound of all time happens. James falls asleep, standing straight up, and timbers, like straight up face plants, and goes, boom, hits the floor, like, "Fuck you, James, what the fuck is wrong with you?" And then he proceeds, and this is an apartment upstairs in like a fairly large house. He starts trying to open every single door and is screaming from aliens, "Get me out of this chicken shit outfit!" And so he finally finds the door outside, walks outside. By the by, he's shirtless, and it's Minneapolis, and it's like 30 degrees.
It was March.
Yeah. And he's outside doing his thing. And finally, we wake up, at 9, because we can't sleep. And James shows back up, and he's just chugging Yoo-Hoo. He tried to walk back down to the party, and I don't know where the fuck he went, but he found a gas station that would serve him Yoo-Hoo shirtless.
I imagine going on tour with James Swihart is kind of a a maddening experience.
The house that we were staying at was in a very residential area. The closest place that would sell you Yoo-hoo shirtless had to be at least 2 or 3 miles away.
he did it. And that's Minneapolis.
Yeah.
The show story actually reminds me of a little thing that happened to Asobi Seksu in Toledo, Ohio, at a place called Mickey Finn's. Who, no one should ever go to Mickey Finn's.
I'm familiar. I'm a little too familiar with Mickey Finn's.
It was just like a day off, pick up some bullshit show kind of thing, because why else would you ever go to Toledo? It's like the guarantee was not that much money, and we also did not expect very many people to show up, because it was like a Tuesday night in Toledo.
Sure.
I think like 40 people came, you know, whatever. But you still got like a $10-$12 ticket.
Right.
And it was a little shy of the guarantee, but not enough that like the promoter shouldn't be able to take, you know, cover. Yep. You know, if he's a real promoter.
Right.
This guy not a real promoter. So they're playing and I'm like already ahead of him, like thinking this guy's sketchy.
Yeah.
Like he's going to try and duck me. And I start walking around looking for him like right after they start, cuz I'm just like, fuck it, I'm getting paid now. Like I'm not waiting till the end of the show. And I'm asking a couple people, like the bartender, he's like, oh no, I haven't seen him in a bit. You know, I'm asking like whoever was at the door, and they're like, oh no, I think he's in like the office or something. Like nobody's in this office. And I go outside and I see him getting in his car. And I'm like, hey, where are you going? And he's like, oh, I just have to run home real quick. And I was like, oh, you gotta go get our money? And he's like, yep, that's what I'm doing. And I was like, okay, before you leave, I want your address. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you're not leaving the show unless I know where you're going. And I'm like, give me your driver's license. And he's like, no. You don't think I'm going to duck you or anything? And I was like, give me the money you have on you right now. And he gives me $200.
So you mugged him.
Then he never came back. And I knew he wasn't. He was planning on leaving and not coming back.
So what was the guarantee, like $250?
Their guarantee was $400.
So you got half.
I got half. He did not come back. I mean, he was clearly...
Yeah.
Trying to sneak away and get out of there.
See, I would have been just like, oh, cool, you're going to... I'll just ride along. Cool. And just get in the car with him. Be like, cool. I mean, like, we don't have to go to your house. You can just go to an ATM machine and get the money.
And, yeah, I mean, like, I got the money from him. I immediately called our agent and left a message like, hey, this dude straight up took off on me. I collected what I could from him and then he disappeared. I should have gotten in the car. That's a good... I didn't think about that. But I also didn't really want to, like... Where would he take me?
Like, and
I might be stuck in fucking Toledo somewhere random. And then I'll have to pay for a cab to get my ass back there.
He did not release the hounds on you.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. Right. No. He actually was kind of scared of me.
Yeah.
And did give me the money he had on him.
You know, here's the thing, like, the Sun Pumps in Minneapolis story with, like, the woman threatening with her pit bull. Just reminds me, there's a guy in Evansville, Indiana. I don't know if he's even still alive, because there's an older guy that played in bands in the 70s, like, in Southern Illinois, where he grew up and everything. And he played, like, the dances and stuff like that. And he played a bunch of, like, really shitty fucking biker bars. And the way that I got to know him is, like, later on, he just... rented out PAs to bands, and he was like a cool guy. His name was Curtis Berry, but he was a very like rough around the edges kind of biker kind of dude. And so after like working with him and renting a bunch of shit from him over the years, I got to know him pretty well, and he started like kind of telling me some stories. And he had like basically made like a little compartment in the back of his amp, his combo amp, that he could just put his 38 in and know that it was like not going to get too hot and it was safe and it was like easy to get to, because he played so many shitty biker bars and stuff like that, where it wasn't just a like to get their money.
Yeah.
Like, he had his piece on him, which again, like if she said, oh, my pit bull agrees, like, oh, my 38.
My 38 agrees with the
contract that we signed.
Yeah.
You know, But he said that he actually had to pull it out on stage mid-set one time.
Wow.
Because these bikers like had broken whiskey bottles that they walked behind the bar and got. And we're like threatening the singer, and so he had to like reach back. Like, I don't think so, gentlemen. We're gonna finish Freebird, and everybody's gonna be cool, all right?
That could have gotten ugly real fast.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's just like
you pull the gun, then they pull the gun.
I forget who was telling me the story. It was I forget which old blue
switch.
Oh, is it Switch? Ooh,
thank God.
Oh man, the Steel Reserve is. There's a lot of this one left.
I can smell the Magnum. I can smell how shitty it is.
It's so bad.
The Magnum is terrible.
Let's take it. Like, take a switch. Here we go. Cheers.
Yeah. Ooh, Steel Reserve is 8.1%. We're getting.
Oh my
God. Our money's worth out of the Steel Reserve. Yeah, the Magnum's the worst, man. It is the worst.
I like the old English.
At least, you're getting to drink the Magnum like after already drinking some beer. Like I had to start with that. Shit.
That's rough. Warm Cobra, my favorite.
Yeah.
Warm Cobra is also one of your favorite things, isn't it, Cuban? A nice warm Cobra.
Ah, the Black Mamba.
The Black Mamba.
Oh, you mean penis?
Yeah. Uncircumcised penis because it has the hood. It has the Cobra hood that you can pull out. You can pull it out and make a Cobra hood.
Oh, Jesus.
You can.
Steel Reserve's gross, by the way, too.
Hey, you're welcome. So we're at the halfway point of the episode. I think it's a good time to give old Mark Cross a call and let him know that another shade of the rainbow has been filled in.
Yeah.
Sexually.
You're right.
Filled with your penis.
Oh, man.
Did you use your penis?
I did use my penis, right. Actually. As opposed to, what, my fist?
Sure. Just remember to put it on speakerphone and put it right up by the mic there.
Yeah.
And then also, I just want to point out that our guest today, Rob Ross, is wearing a shirt that says, Pussy is my religion.
But it's got a fat kitten on
it. It's got a fat cat in a Buddha-like pose.
We'll see if my dad answers. He is at work right now. Okay. It is...
highly secretive.
Highly secretive military defense government job.
Is that a Kyle Beach gift?
Yeah. Alright, here we go. We'll be quiet at first.
We're ringing. My phone's really not good for this. My speaker is very loud. Or is not very loud.
You think your dad would answer from my phone number? He doesn't know it.
No.
Your call has been forwarded.
Well, let's leave him a message. We'll give him the good news.
0-8-0.
Yeah, of course, not the number. The news, but not the number.
Available. At the tone,
that part's
please record your message.
Yeah.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Dad. It's Nick.
And Matt from Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitlist. Also with us in the studio today are...
Rob Ross. My name's Cuban.
And Cuban Harrison.
And Cuban Harrison.
We were just calling you during the show to tell you some good news.
Ba-ba-da-da!
One portion of the sexual rainbow has been filled in.
Ba-ba-da-da!
By myself.
Of course, that's
true. With no money exchanged. So you have now slept with a full Latina...
Yes.
Hispanic, whatever terminology you want to use.
Yes.
Instead of just half of one.
So the other half has been filled in by a half Brazilian young lady.
Yes.
Who, good? Was it good for Mark Cross, seriously?
Mark Cross enjoyed himself thoroughly.
Okay, good. Well, good job, Mark Cross. Mark Cross, you're vicariously, you had a great time.
All right. See you later. He's going to love that message so much.
Yeah, there you go.
If my mom somehow hears that message, she will not.
Your mom doesn't like Latino people?
Oh. No, yeah, my mom is
Mexicans.
My mom is very racist.
Okay. All right.
Well, no.
Oh, that's good. Let's talk about that for a while. Is that where you get it? So we talked some tour stories. Another favorite that we like to do here is we often fall into talking about strip club stories, because often when you're on the road with a van full of other dudes, and sometimes
you get lonely.
And you get lonely.
You need the comforts of a good woman.
You see James Swihart getting naked in a hot tub. It gets you thinking. man, I got to see something else to get that out of my mind. And so I just wanted to know, and like we'll come to Cuban in a little bit for his strip club story. You know, because, you know,
he's got a different perspective.
I'm sure he's got a different perspective we can all learn from. But, Rob, any good memorable strip club stories that you can think of?
I have plenty of.
Okay, all right. Well,
strip club stories.
Okay.
Some of them will not be uttered on to this podcast.
Okay, well, what's one that you can repeat?
Where to start?
Just the first one that comes to your mind. It's a good story.
Well, we have a rule down in Kentucky where if you go to the boat,
mm-hmm.
And you make a shit ton of cash,
yeah.
Like the river boat, the casino
the
boat.
The gambling boat, yes.
Yeah. You have to stop the Rustic Frog. You have to.
The Rustic
Frog is on...
And this is a strip club.
It's a strip club. David Allan Coe is actually playing at the strip club coming up real soon.
Oh, man.
Buy your tickets now.
Yes.
Yeah. If you hate black people...
If you hate black people, but you love titties...
get to the Rustic Frog.
If you love titties, you shouldn't really go to the
Rustic Frog. So, if you hate black people, love naked people that hate black people.
That's right. And they have incredibly reasonably priced beers for a strip club. Like $2.50 for a domestic.
Well, for them, they think that's expensive. They think they've marked it up.
At any rate,
it's David Allan Coe will be playing at the Rustic Frog on August 19th.
That's our event that we're promoting this time.
That's the event that we're all doing / not doing.
Well, I don't know.
Take this job and
fuck
the gays. I think is what he was talking
half
about.
Half of that was a Johnny Paycheck song.
Exactly.
So anyway, the rule is if you make money at the boat, you have to go to the Rustic Frog. And so this was
is this a Commonwealth-wide rule?
Everyone in Kentucky does this.
JohnBoggsLaw.com is a real thing.
JohnBoggsLaw.com. Yes.
He is also my lawyer.
The John Boggs Law Blog.
So he's still working on that. So we go to the boat. I end up making a decent amount of cash.
Right.
And it's John, his wife Victoria, and me on our way back. We have to stop at the Rustic Frog. So
is this Oaks?
This was Oaks, the longest day I've ever had. Go into the Rustic Frog.
God, the Steel Reserve is hard to drink.
An awful place.
I feel bad that Rob's going to get stuck with this.
I feel bad for myself. I should be drinking as opposed to talking.
Keep talking. All right,
so go into the Rustic Frog. It's not that great of a story. There were no winking buttholes the way there were at Jackson Swain's bachelor party. But what did happen was I was summoned.
So that story sounds way better.
Let's just jump over to that story.
I was summoned to the stage by a young lady who was dancing, and I had my beer and was hanging out. And she's like, come on over here. I'm gonna, you know, dance towards you, I guess. You're the only person in the bar besides the married dude and his wife. You know, she's come over here. So I do, and she starts dancing towards me and kicks my beer directly into my lap, and then proceeds to tell me that, I told you shouldn't come up here, which was her words, which were counterintuitive to the you should come up here.
The motion with
motion
her hand.
Motion with the fingers,
yeah.
And then the go away. Kind of the
she basically
of my life.
She basically
summoned you to kick the beer in my lap to scold me for being summoned.
Did she at least have the exotic dancer etiquette of taking off your glasses?
No, we didn't even get that far.
Yeah.
No, it was just kind of a drop kick to my beer into my lap.
So was this a different story than the story where you had to come home with greasy glasses?
Because that girl didn't know the etiquette then?
Yes.
I wonder if Kevin Harrison knows that story. Has Kevin heard that story about the greasy glasses?
Just bits and pieces, but I wouldn't... If you can elaborate? Tell me more about these winking buttholes.
Cuban is very interested in buttholes.
Jesus Christ. Jackson Swain's bachelor party. Back before this past year, strip clubs down in the Louisville were no bras, no draws.
Yeah.
Straight up.
I've been to the Deja
naked,
Vu
naked,
in the Ville.
They've actually changed that law to where they actually have to wear bottoms, and they have to do that stupid clear
the
nail
pasty
polish on the nipples.
Yeah.
which will scratch your cornea. You will get a scratched cornea from nail polish on a nipple.
Speaking of Jackson Swain, his band The Ladybirds is playing tonight in Bloomington.
Yes, they are.
So if we actually get this uploaded in time and someone actually listens to this before then, they should go to Jake's and see
that. No one listens to this. It's cool.
Are there any other bands playing the show with The Ladybirds?
Nope.
The Velours.
The Velours are playing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a girl group with a lot of hot babes.
Yeah, so
not my cup of tea.
Naked chicks making their buttholes wink.
Were they like actually spreading the cheeks?
No, it was a squatting formation, holding on to the pole, squatting, and then the womp, like the flexing
sphincter,
of the brown eye. Absolutely amazing. Sphincters typically can't be opened and closed on command. But this lady had a neck, and then our buddy got kicked out of the strip club for trying to put a dollar.
He was talking dirty.
He was talking filthy.
He was talking filthy, and she was into him talking filthy. He's like, I just want to stick a dollar in your butt. And she's like, ooh, baby, yeah. And he went, boop. Then he got kicked out.
And then it was
Was she upset when he did
it? And
then
the bouncer was the bad guy.
I have to be the dick.
But when he did it, was she like, what the fuck?
She was not expecting a dollar bill to come to her bubble.
But he was telling her he was going to do it.
He was telling her a lot of things.
Well, he would have done those things too if she'd have let him get around to it. I'm defending him like it was me or something. It was not me.
Sure, it wasn't.
Right. I've had good experiences at strip clubs, and I've had like awkward experiences at strip clubs, which still fall into the good category.
Sure,
yeah.
But I like a lot of things. The winking butthole in my face. I
impressive.
It's like,
not necessary, but impressive.
I see what you're doing here.
But you're kind of like, I am not a cake. Please do not fart on me.
God damn it, I was trying to take a drink right there.
Benjamin, do you have any decent strip club stories?
What about Cuban? Cuban Harrison have a strip club
or Cuban?
Story?
Oh, Cuban Harrison tends to stay away from the strip clubs. They make my ulcer act up.
Okay. Ben, what about you? Do you have any good...
Fort Wayne was pretty alright.
Fort Wayne has great strip clubs.
I think we were on tour with you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That was an
that's where we got to take over the DJing.
Yeah, I think you told this story on the podcast.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Then just jump right to Milwaukee is the best day ever.
Okay, Milwaukee is the best day ever. I know earlier today Cuban told a story about Minneapolis.
Right.
He said how I feel about it. He couldn't have hit the nail more on the head. I don't like Minneapolis. I like the Triple Rock. Milwaukee, I think, is heaven on earth. I love Milwaukee.
Okay.
I love people from Milwaukee. I love the things that you can do around Milwaukee. I like their exports. I like beer and sausage and cheese.
There you go.
Sure.
So the best day ever was a Sub Pumps tour. We were, it was just a weekend. It was just weekend jaunt. We did, Chicago.
With the CS Dragons.
We did Chicago, Milwaukee, Indianapolis. It was just 3 days. Easy drives, good cities. So you wake up in Chicago, you've only got an hour and a half drive to Milwaukee.
Sure.
So it's an easy day. We go to the Cheese Castle.
The Mars Cheese Castle, which is not a strip club. Sounds like a strip club.
It's a strip club for girls with gonorrhea.
It's a strip club for fat people. Like, oh my god.
The cottage cheese. Well,
that's put that curd in my face. I'm going to put this dollar bill in your curd. Your squeaky, squeaky curd.
I don't want to start elaborating on the Cheese Castle because I could easily fill an entire podcast with just the Cheese
Castle. It's amazing.
They
moved it, which makes me very sad.
Yeah,
well, they moved it like 20 feet.
But it's an entire, it's a different building, right?
They built an actual castle.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay, I'm okay for that.
Yeah. It's a real castle.
Okay. It's Disneyland for cheese lovers.
Yes.
It's beautiful. The best place ever.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Bartender Lisa, I love you. All okay. Right. So we went to...
We're a big hit with the Mars Cheese Castle employees, actually. So she'll hear that.
They play it in the bar. They play the podcast in the bar often.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right, so in Milwaukee, so you stop at the Mars Cheese Castle. You're already on to a great day.
We stock up on, curds and smoked sausage and stuff. I get a a yard long, like a
Slim Jim, for all intents and purposes.
For all intents and purposes, a homemade Slim Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to go to a movie, The Departed, just came out. So we go to see The Departed because we have time, because it's an easy drive, because it's an awesome 3 days.
Sure.
So I stick the yard-long Slim Jim up the sleeve of my jean jacket. Just watch the movie. Just
naked into the movie?
It looked like chewing on my wrist the whole movie. Just nibbling on that Slim Jim. That was awesome.
Switch.
Oh, God.
You've got a lot of...
Oh, no. Fuck.
That thing.
Oh, it's so warm. You have the hot hand. I'm stuck with the hot hand over you.
That thing was handed to me with like so much in it.
Right. Feel that. This is the hottest thing on the planet.
So the steel reserve is now hot.
It's
a foundry. It's a foundry of flavor.
What did you do?
This is what we're ending with. I'm entering with the Cobra.
Yeah, we'll help you with that because we're all going to get done before that's... You can tell the steel reserve
is terrible.
Yeah, the Magnum is the worst.
Magnum really, truly is.
Cobra is like such a refreshing, like, oh my God, did an angel just fart in my mouth? Because that's what it tastes
that's
like.
Refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, it's like.
And even though it's kind of warm now, the old like English is still better.
All right, so you saw a great movie after you went to a great cheese castle.
Yeah, so we get to Minneapolis and the club we're playing, which. Unfortunately, no longer has live bands.
You mean Milwaukee?
Yes. Milwaukee.
Sorry, Milwaukee. My bad. is called Heartbreakers. And it's a strip club.
Strip club that had live bands playing it.
Yeah, strip club
great.
That has live bands. The girls, like 90% of them, attractive girls. Like, just like girls that I would talk to had have run into like in an actual bar.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is, the. There's two rooms. There's a room that's mostly strip club centric,
uh-huh.
And then there's a room that's mostly live music centric that's got a few side stages. The dancers know that they're going to be making their money in the strip club centric room.
Sure.
So we found out, I think it was like the bartender or something before the show told us, if you want girls dancing during your set, which, duh, you do, you have to go into the strip club room, make friends with them, and convince them that it's worth their time
right.
To...
Holla, if you will.
You have to holla. All
right.
You got to convince them they're going to be making some tips.
You have to break some Jewish bread with them. Some holla.
Yes, you need some holla.
You're going to have to bait them with holla.
Not halal.
not that.
No. Evans, never that.
America first. Please continue.
First. So, yeah, long story short, we hung out in the strip club part of it. There were some very, just really nice girls down to earth.
Yeah.
Cool girls. At that point, the Sump Pumps uniform was the white shirt, black tie, black pants. And I'd never worn a tie into a strip club before, but gentlemen, it's the best thing you can do.
Glasses.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Like, anything you can do to give them a prop, like if you're wearing a hat, have a tie. They do the same act like multiple times a day, every day. Give them a prop.
Yeah.
They appreciate
let
it.
Let them improvise
a
little bit.
And you get an awesome show.
Exactly.
They hook for a hand.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
When Carrot Top goes into a strip club, you would not believe.
They do some crazy shit with those wacky giant glasses.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So there's this one girl. Basically, the show was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's no story.
Okay.
It was a good time. The show was awesome. The girls danced during our sets. They told us that we made them feel like the Fembots from Austin Powers.
Excellent.
Because we were playing fast music.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. But there was one girl there.
The unfortunate one?
She was the unfortunate one. She wasn't the...
There's always an unfortunate.
She wasn't the most ugly girl I've ever seen. But she shouldn't have been taking off her clothes to paying customers.
Okay, hold on a second. But let's talk about this. Who is the most unattractive woman you've ever seen?
Naked?
Naked.
On purpose?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, all right.
Have you seen Kathy Bates naked?
In About Schmidt.
In About Schmidt, she's
oh,
naked.
Oh.
Full front.
Ah!
Yeah.
I don't know, Tub Girl?
Tub Girl?
Tubgirl.com. Everyone, you should go to tubgirl.com. She's cute.
In a Tub Girl kind of way. All right.
So this girl...
Rob, what am I doing?
I think Rob is still imagining Kathy Bates naked right now.
All right, we'll come back to you, Rob.
Come back to me.
All right.
I've seen some shit.
How was Hobo Girl naked?
Actually hot.
You know, I met her years later. She came... she was in Louisville, and her and Rob...
She was hoboing it up in Louisville?
She caught the 7:15...
She was going back to school, actually.
her and Rob got dinner at a restaurant I worked at, and I came out and met her. She was a looker.
Yeah?
Yeah. She just
well done, Rob.
She yeah, happened right. to be a transient.
I seek out diamonds in the rough. Exactly. All right, so there's this unfortunate dancer, not the most unattractive woman, but clearly...
Unattractive enough. The thing is, she had, like, squared off features. Like, she had kind of a...
She had a strong jaw.
She was definitely a girl, but she had a masculine look to her features.
Like the animated series Batman. Okay, all right. Okay. Excellent.
All right. So she got up and started dancing, and all the dancers danced to a 2-song set.
Sure.
She did her first...
I already know the story. I didn't know all the setup to the story, but please continue. This is one of the best... I've retold this so many times on the road to people. Please continue.
The first song she danced to was Big Balls by AC/DC. I love AC/DC. It's not my favorite AC/DC song. I think it's kind of silly. And I thought it was kind of an unusual choice for a dancer to be dancing to, but there's all like the double entendre, like
sure.
balls as in parties.
Yeah.
And she was working it, you know, like she was owning the song. So she dances her whole way through Big Balls. Her follow-up song is another song by AC/DC, She's Got Balls. So she dances all the way through Big Balls. She dances all the way through She's Got Balls. And then at the end, she starts making her rounds, like, kind of like, hey, baby, do you want to give me a tip? Do you want to tuck a dollar? You know, she comes up to our table, and I'm trying to make conversation with her, and I say, so you must be a big AC/DC fan. And she goes, who? And I said, AC/DC. You danced to 2 AC/DC songs in a row. I wasn't trying to, like, I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you danced to 2 AC/DC songs in a row. Like, you must be a big fan of their music. And she goes, oh, no, the DJ picks all the songs for us.
Dude looks like a lady.
Like, honey, that DJ has it in for me.
Last week I danced to Lola nonstop. Couldn't get it out of my head for weeks.
No, it's like the 1-2 punch. We're like, Big Balls, like, okay. But following up Big Balls with She's Got Balls, the Big Balls belong to her.
Oh, that reminds me of the time I was 20 but snuck into a bar in Arizona. You know, it was a karaoke night. Not necessarily similar, but you kind of figure it out. It was the karaoke DJ. His name was wasn't Cletus. It was like Jimbo or something. It was weird. But his girlfriend had just broken up with him, and she shows up to karaoke. Amazing. She picks My Heart Will Go On, like with all of the like chest thumping bravado, and then his follow up to that. God, was it Foreigner?
Cold as Ice?
No, not Cold as Ice. It was shit. I'll come back to it. It's awesome, though. My Heart Will Go On was followed by...
Yeah.
I've been drinking Steel Reserve all day.
Good story, Rob.
Great story.
Way to follow Ben's amazing story.
Damn it. I ruined
everything that must come up must come down. What a good podcast. All right, we're in the last 7 minutes of the podcast now, and we have a few other bits and everything. We haven't heard from Cuban for a while, and we kind of did a very poor imitation of Cuban Harrison because we're such a big fan of him. We did a thing of Cuban Harrison reading from a stripper sale by Diamond, speaking of strip clubs. And so now that we actually have the real
Cuban
Harrison
Get
in
over
studio.
It? Is that a song?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes.
All right. So did the karaoke guy dumped the
We're
girl.
Done with the karaoke story. We're done with the karaoke story. All right. So we have Cuban. You haven't been saying much. Are you okay?
Find me a passage and I'll read it.
All right. So I feel like this is something that must happen since you are all the way here from Denver, Colorado. Thank you so much for making the trip.
It's been my pleasure. All
right. What are some of the things you like about Denver while Nick is looking for a passage? What's some of your favorite things about Denver, Colorado?
Well, I really like to ride around on Segways. And in Denver is one of the cities where I can find many like-minded men that will ride around on the scooters with me.
Sure.
I like the fresh air, but I don't really like walking. It upsets my glands.
Okay. Now, do the Segways, do they run a little better up there because of the high altitude, the thinner air, just like processes a little bit quicker through their carburetors, which they don't have, but we'll put them in favor for this?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they don't because it's battery powered.
It's battery powered. Yes. Okay. Well, thanks for embarrassing me on our show.
No,
it's okay. No, it's fine. You know more about Segways than I do.
It's a thing.
Point proven. All right, my friend.
I'm proud of it.
All right. Do we have a passage for Cuban to read?
Yeah, we'll read the from the chapter Fantasy and Fetish.
Fantasy and Fetish?
In a Stripper's Tale.
Now, Cuban, you seem like a sensitive soul. This isn't going to, like, upset your ulcer, your glands, is it?
I think it will not.
Okay, we'll give it a try then.
It seems to be a heartfelt memoir of a girl who's been through some trials and tribulations.
That's right.
And I'm sure that's all it is.
The second paragraph here is for
you. Second paragraph. This girl used to find couples at work to go party with and have sex with. Before she settled down and gave up her party life, she used to meet couples in the club and go back to the casino with them. They would party, drink, and screw. Sometimes it was just the wives or girlfriends. Other times it was the both of them. She used to tell me stories about her and these couples. She said for her to be with both of them, she would charge them $1,000 for the night. That was drinking, dancing in public, and basically putting on a scene for all to watch and envy the guy. If the guy just wanted to watch, it was $750. I asked her where she got her prices. She said it was the price she got the first time she decided to do it. I like what she did there. That's interesting. So she just stayed with the price. She also told me the only way she would be with a man is if he was good looking. Amen. She used to make a lot of money by finding couples in the club that wanted to do threesomes. Like I said, they come in all shapes and sizes, and there is someone for every person. See, I like how that ended.
There is someone for every person.
It's very nice. It's a very touching. You're right. Nice. It's a touching memoir. It's a touching lesson for us all.
That's right.
There's someone for everyone.
So
even a stripper.
Remember, if you're a guy out there, and you're not good looking. Even though she says that she doesn't like men that aren't good looking, and the girl who she was talking to doesn't like men that weren't good looking, and I guess also I myself admitted that I'm not really into ugly men. The last sentence, there is someone for everyone. Maybe you should just find someone ugly.
Okay, all right, very good. That's not the lesson I thought we were going to learn, but all right, very
good. Have you ever been in a threesome, Cuban?
Yeah, Cuban, any threesomes?
Oh, three, whatever.
Is that, okay. What's the highest number?
Two.
Two. Okay.
Is that on purpose?
Yes.
The Stripper's Tale? Spelled T-A-I-L?
Yeah. I don't see a turd coming out of her butt on the front, though.
So no.
Where does the tail come from?
It's
her ass. Tail as ass.
Yeah.
Ass as tail.
Some people consider me a deviant, but it's just the way the wind blows. I'm actually a very conservative man.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, we have about 1 minute left. Let's just do some quick final thoughts. You gentlemen are not done with your drinks. I am.
Fuck yeah. You.
So, wait, what do you mean your drink? This is all of our drinks.
Yeah.
I'm done with my portion of our drink. How about that? You guys are chugging. I like it. Cuban likes it a lot. Yeah, he likes
well,
to do that.
He is Cuban.
Yeah. Ben
Cuban,
is
Cuban knows how to open the gullet.
You just gotta open the throat.
There you go.
Just gotta let it all in.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Rob Ross, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Ben, thanks for coming in unannounced. We didn't know you were going to make the trip.
I was just in the kitchen making myself a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for
popping
in.
And then you heard Cuban's beautiful voice, yeah, and we're like, oh, my friend is here.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Cuban, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate
honestly,
it.
Honestly, it's been my pleasure.
All right. Well, very nice. So in the last 30 seconds, Nick, what's next on the Sexual Rainbow, the Around the World in 80 Lays?
Well, I'm about to go up to Fort Wayne for a spell.
Okay.
Have you ever tried a black guy?
I've not tried a black guy.
Guys count. Guys count in this rainbow.
Yeah,
whether or not Mark Cross knew that.
I'm not sure I can handle a black man, Cuban.
Get started off with an Asian man and work up to black man. Stereotypes.
Sing.
Stereotypes.
Come on, look at me. They're gentle, obviously.
He's a delicate flower, that Cuban Harrison.
The Cuban is delicate.
So you're going up to Fort Wayne for a spell.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Are there any minorities in Fort Wayne?
They have a large Laotian population.
Oh, there we go. although you've already done Asian.
I know.
Really, like, black is the next...
It's really like the last frontier. The final frontier.
Yes, of equality. Yes, it is. It really is the final frontier of equality.
Well, I mean, what other like, big races am I neglecting?
Inuit. Native
that's not,
American.
I wouldn't say that's a big race.
Native American, Inuit, Aborigine.
Middle Eastern.
Indian, Pakistani, Middle Eastern. Yeah, yeah.
I need to hit some Muslim.
Hit some Muslim.
Somebody Muslim. Basically.
You need to hit someone who's Muslim. Is what you
with my penis and their vagina.
Okay. Yeah. So it's still a hate crime.
Yeah.
Dirty high five.
This episode got really, like, way worse than all the other episodes combined. Right at the end. There.
Well, good thing nobody's listening at this point.
Exactly, yeah. So, Rob, as our featured guest tonight, where would you suggest that Nick go to try to find some Middle Eastern Baba Ganoush, if you will?
The Middle East?
The Middle East.
There is that.
As long as they're wearing a burqa at the beginning, then I'm good.
Okay, well, you might wind up with Cuban Harrison then, in disguise. He likes a burqa sometimes.
Honestly, honey, you're not my style.
Oh, that's right. He prefers a handsome man. I forgot.
Yeah, a handsome black man.
Handsome black man.
I'm an unattractive white man. Right. So.
Well, you're moving back to Fort Wayne for a spell, so this might be the last episode for a while.
Yeah, I'll be back.
I'm glad we could end
weekend,
with some
really
horrible racism. That's good.
Yeah.
as we do. As you do. I never do, but as you do on this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Dirty high five. All right. So this has been episode 21 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitlist. I'm Matt.
I am the person formerly known as Nick.
Yeah, Rob Ross just finished the last of the
Steel Reserve.
My name's Cuban.
Cuban is, thank you very much, Cuban. Maybe we'll have you back in the future. Ben, also thank you.
Thanks, man.
Last thoughts, just real quickly, gentlemen, before I shut it down.
I have no thoughts.